Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Build 2017. Thanks for joining us. I know it's towards a little bit of the end of the day, so you all want to get ready and go party, have a couple beers. So we'll try and get through this and get you out to some parties. Let me introduce myself quickly. My name is Amit Rajput. I'm a program manager in Microsoft Stream, and I also work on Azure Media Services. And I'll let Vishal introduce himself.
Thank you. I'm Vishal Sood. I'm the GPM for Microsoft Stream. So our team owns both Microsoft Stream as well as Office 365 Video. Those are our two enterprise solutions, and our mission is to democratize video within the enterprise. So we want all of you to use Stream, and all of you to use a lot of video in your organization. So I think, but today's talk, is, I think Amit is going to do most of the talking here. I'm just around just in case questions come up and all that kind of stuff. But just to set quick context around this talk, so we built Stream, and we started getting a ton of questions from people. Like, how did you do this? How did you solve the problem of authenticated delivery in Stream? So we thought we'll give you a good demo of Stream, show you the how Stream works, but we'll also focus some time and put some time onto how we built Stream under the hood, and how did we utilize Azure for that. And the goal is not that we don't want all of you to start building Stream today. So we have Stream, so you use it. But the idea was to share some best practices and kind of show you how we really mean it when we say it's secure delivery solution on and how we use cloud for that. So I'll hand it over to Amit, who's going to do most of the talking. I'll come back in later.
Cool. Thanks, Vishal. Cool. So just as a show of hands, how many people have heard of Microsoft Stream? All right, that's good. And how many people have used Microsoft Stream? All right, we got one hand back here. That's good. I like that. So we're going to give you a good demo of it, so you'll be able to see it in action here today. So we're going to start off with and talk a little bit about and show you what Microsoft Stream is, and then I'll get into a little bit about how we built the service. Again, as Vishal mentioned earlier, the intent here is to show you some of the best practices that we have in terms of building first-class solutions on Azure itself. Then we'll talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we faced and how we enabled Microsoft Stream across a variety of different applications inside of Microsoft as well. I'll give some time for Q&A, but you're more than welcome to come and talk to us after the session as well. So the first question that we all ask on our minds is, what is Microsoft Stream? Microsoft Stream is a secure enterprise video portal that allows you to share video within the context of your organization. And that happens across a wide variety of devices and securely and efficiently. We make it drag and drop easy so that anybody in your organization can share videos and collaborate on that. So whether that's HR videos for training, how-tos based on a product, or a CEO town hall, we make Microsoft Stream easy to use so that you can collaborate on videos. But don't just take my word for it. Why don't we go ahead and just give you a quick demo? Okay, so this is a typical thing that you'll see when you come to the Microsoft Stream website. You'll see it's a video portal, so I can see what is trending inside of my organization. I can see what other people are watching, what they're interested in, so I too can stay up to date with what's going on in my organization. I'm shown some popular channels that a lot of people are subscribed to and what they're following in order to say, you know, stay up to date with what are the cool trending topics. For me, you know, I care about Satya. He's my CEO. So I'm going to follow a channel about him. Furthermore, the actual page that's listed here on the homepage is curated more towards yourself. So it's personalized that's there. So we see a watch list that's based on, hey, I wanted to watch this video a little bit later, or I really like that video and I want to remember it for later. This is my watch list. And these are the channels that I follow. So I can see the new videos that are showing up in that context as well. Moving on to the next section, channels are a great way to organize content inside of Microsoft Stream. The whole idea is a way for you to curate and have people to follow that content. So I can go here, and why don't I go in and search for the Satya channel? Because that's important to me. And there's Satya. And great, now I can see a bunch of videos that are about Satya. So as he does different keynotes, town halls, and that, Belinda here is going to upload these videos into the Satya channel that comes in. So there's a bunch of videos that are here. Why don't we go ahead and take a look at the keynote of last year's build? So as you can see here, we actually take care of everything under the covers for streaming capabilities. What we do is we do adaptive bitrate streaming under the hood so that it adapts to the client's bandwidth in order to serve at the best bitrate available on that client device. And again, we take care of that all under the covers. There's nothing extra that you have to do on top of that. We also enable a lot of things for accessibility purposes. So especially in the organization today, it's very important that you have you make things accessible for users. One example of that might be closed captions for those who are hearing impaired. So for an example here, I can actually enable closed captions as it comes through for the content. If I take a deeper look into the description of the content, I can actually tag rich things like hashtags for searching or even time codes in the video in order to create a table of contents. Let's say I'm interested in only learning about, I want to know about Xamarin, for example. So here at 46 minutes in, I can click that, and it takes me directly to that spot in the video. Furthermore, I have a lot of social aspects that are going on here. So I've got related videos on the side on the right here, as well as I can comment. And again, I can comment directly to a time code in that video. So I can say, hey, I like this time, I like when this happened at this specific spot. And it allows users to deep link directly into that content. So as I mentioned, uploading is super easy. Anybody can do it. Make it drag and drop easy. So all you have to do is you can select one or more files here, drag and drop that onto the screen, and we'll take care of all of the basic uploading and processing under the covers. All you have to do is fill in the metadata. So I've got a title filled in for me automatically here, and let's add a couple of hashtags. Let's see, hashtag build is cool. All right. And now I can add accessibility options, as I was mentioning before. I can upload my subtitles or captions. In this case, let's add an English captions. Drag that in. And that'll upload and attach to my video there. Now, the next thing I want to set is what are my permissions on the video? So right now, as you can see, it's all set to anybody in my organization can see this video. But let's say I want to restrict access to only certain people in the company. What I can do is I can set this to custom, and let's say we give Sarah access. That's pulling directly up from my Azure Active Directory credentials, and I just pulled it up, and now only Sarah has access to the video. In the background, you'll see that we have three thumbnails already generated for us automatically, but you can also upload your own custom thumbnail as well. For now, I'm just going to select this one because it's cool. And I'm ready to go. I can publish the video. The video has actually already been processed and ready to share out. And the way that works for us is we want your videos to be available to you right away. So what we do is we do some magic under the covers, and we select a single bitrate to be ready immediately for you for sharing. But in the background, we're actually processing the multi-bitrate assets underneath so that those will get backfilled directly into the content when people actually come to there. So let's take a look back at this video. So now I created this video. It's here. And we're ready to go. And it's going to go right there, ready to stream. And all the it's been encoded and everything processed on the fly. OK, so that's we'll get into some other cool stream features a little bit later. But one thing to keep in mind is we're in preview right now. So you can actually go and try stream for free. Just go to stream.microsoft.com, and you can sign in with your org credentials and try it out and use it for free. Let us know what you think about it. All right, so now to the fun part. How did we actually build Stream using Azure? So a user can come into Microsoft Stream on pretty much any device and go to their browser and access Microsoft Stream. It's comprised of a front-end video portal, as well as back-end services to serve up APIs, as well as video processing and streaming. We use an authentication service, account management, as well as telemetry under the covers in order to service our service. So how do we reach that global scale? Well, we do a cool thing. So the front-end service and the back-end service are actually regionally deployed across various data centers worldwide, while the authentication service, the account service management, and telemetry are actually accessed at a global level. Using a traffic manager, we are actually able to route the user to the closest front-end regionally deployed data center to their location. And it allows us to help us route to the back end using the APIs to where their data is stored exactly in the area around the world. We also use Azure DNS for global domain hosting, but I won't get too much into detail about that right here. So our web portal UI is actually comprised of a couple of different components. We've got a web app that's used for serving up dynamic content. We use a CDN to serve up static content, as well as we use a web role in order to interact between different components in the service. Our backend service, specifically the API gateway, uses a web role in order to connect to multiple different components that we have, as well as it helps with the access control for the APIs and serving up the content. Now taking a look at the account service and how we do that management. We actually have a tenant database using SQL database that actually is used to store the mapping of where tenants actually are regionally deployed. Let's take a little bit more of an ingrained look of how that login flow might work. So a user can come in on any device, go to their browser, and then we use the traffic manager to route them to the closest data center where they're located. And that allows the content to be served up much faster. The web role then redirects to the authentication component, which we'll talk a little bit about in a little bit, and asks the user to log in. Once successful credentials are sent in, we'll redirect it back to the browser, who then is going to go look for where the backend APIs should be called from. So using the traffic manager again, we hit the closest API gateway in order to make a tenant call to find out where that exists. We get that information back, and that's relayed back to the browser. And then we download the static and dynamic resources from the front end. And now we connect directly to the API gateway that where the tenant data is actually stored. Moving on to some fun stuff, video storage and metadata. So we actually use Azure Media Services under the cover for a lot of our video streaming that comes in. We use Azure Blob Storage in order to store the video assets underneath the covers. Technically, that doesn't live inside of Azure Media Services, but it's a part of that flow. So we'll stick it in a little blue box there so that we can talk about it there. We use a SQL database for management of metadata on the videos. So that could be your titles, your descriptions, permissions, as well as where those content is actually stored in storage. Keeps a mapping to the locators. All right, so let's take a little bit quick look at the upload flow. So the API for upload is called. And then what that allows us to do is create an asset inside of our database as well as inside of storage where that might exist. We get a SAS locator back, which is then relayed back to the browser. The browser then takes the video and chunks it up into 4 megabyte chunks and uploads that directly into storage. We then tell the API gateway, hey, we're done uploading, which will then send the metadata and store it into the SQL database. Now, my favorite part personally, because I'm an Azure Media Services PM as well. We have the video processing and streaming. So we use Media Encoder at standard inside of Azure Media Services in order to do 3 jobs underneath. And the 3 jobs are, we run a thumbnail job, as you guys all saw previously, so we pick up 3 thumbnails into the video. We do a proxy bitrate, and the reason for that was so that it is available right away for you in order to share out with other people. And then we do the full multi-bitrate video. We use Azure Media Services for streaming as well, and our streaming service allows you to dynamically package the content and actually transcodes it on the fly as well. So one of the things that we do cool is we chunk up the videos into 6-second chunks so that they're more dynamically available and you're able to adapt to the client's bandwidth that's available. We also do transcoding on the fly to MPEG-Dash, HLS, and smooth streaming. And the reason why we need to do that is because different devices support different streaming protocols. So most modern browsers today support MPEG-Dash. A lot of your phones support HLS natively in terms of the video tag, and older devices do support smooth streaming. So that's how we get that breadth of reach. Using Azure Media Player, we actually automatically detect what browser or device that you're on and select the correct streaming protocol in order to dynamically pick up what protocol should be streamed, as well as we do adaptive bitrate streaming directly on that. Let's take a look at the processing and playback flow. So once the video is done uploading, we run a job that kicks off, and those are the three jobs that I talked about earlier. And the assets are stored into blob storage as well with the original uploaded asset. The player then calls this from the streaming endpoint the video, and the streaming endpoint grabs from storage the different chunks and transcodes them on the fly and provides them back to the player for playback. So the basis of Microsoft Stream, as Vishal sort of touched on a little bit earlier, is security, security, security. So how do we maintain this security that comes in? So we have an authentication layer, which is actually using your Azure Active Directory connected to your org IDs. And that's used for all API access, content access, as well as just getting into the video portal itself. We use encrypted storage and encrypted databases to make sure all of your content is stored securely and making sure that everything is encrypted under the covers as well. And finally, we also use Azure Media Services for content protection services in order to dynamically encrypt the content through streaming with AES 128-bit encryption. And now we'll add the security piece to the playback flow. So the web role will redirect you to your Azure Active Directory, which will ask the user to log in. Upon successful login, the web app will request the video information from the API gateway. So it will check in, grab the video data, but it'll check, hey, does this user actually have access to this content? And if they do, it'll provide it directly back to the web app, which will then set it as the source for the playback. The player will grab the streaming manifest from the streaming server, and what we will do is say, hey, that video is actually encrypted, so we need the decryption key. So I'll request the decryption key, which will then say, hey, this person has the correct access based on token authentication. If so, then we go to our content protection services, serve up the decryption key, and then we'll go back to the streaming server, grab the different video chunks from the encrypted storage, and then play it back inside of Azure Media Player. The next little bit that I'll touch on, and I won't spend too much time on this, but for telemetry, in order to determine how our application is doing, how to monitor our services, we actually use Application Insights as well as Power BI for visualization. This allows us to create alerts on different problems that are happening in our service in order to make sure that our customers are getting the best experience possible. So now here you see a fully fledged video portal that's created with full services that's there. But we wanted to say, hey, how can we make this even better, a better experience for our users? So we're deciding and we take a look at some of the cool media intelligence capabilities that we'd like to add into Microsoft Stream. So what we'll be able to do is two different capabilities. One is speech to text. which will allow us to create transcripts as well as closed captions based on what was spoken in the video. Furthermore, where this gets really powerful is it now allows us to deep search on that content. So most people actually don't go in and fill in the full metadata, so you never really know what the video is like. Now we'll automatically pick up all of what was spoken in the video, so you get that directly into your content in order to make a rich video library that you don't have to curate automatically, and it's very easy to search on. We will also be using the face detection APIs that I think you guys have seen a little bit throughout this week to basically deep link into the spot in the video where somebody actually said something. Why don't I go ahead and actually show you guys what this is going to look like when it's built. So here's a sneak peek for you guys. So basically, as you can see here, what he's saying in the video, you get a video transcript that's actually on the right, so I can follow along with what's going on inside of the video. And the cool thing here is, you know, as you're kind of going through, you might want to say, hey, you know, it's cognitive services, it might not pick up the exact word. Let me edit it. So this says test and money. It really was meant to say testimony. So I can go in and edit that, and therefore I get a better transcription services on that. And the cool thing is I can actually go check out, here's some face detection that comes in, where the person was in the video, I can go to that spot where that person was in the video directly. And then the other cool thing is I can deep search, as I mentioned before, on the video. So in this case, I'm going to look for Nitesh and see where Nitesh comes up in the text as well as in the video. So some cool services that we're going to provide as well. The great part about all of this is that all of these components are actually available for you guys to use directly on Azure.com. And you guys, if you don't have a subscription already, you can try it for free. Go to Azure.com and try and play out with all these services that are available for you. The next topic I want to cover a little bit was talk a little bit about some of the challenges we faced in building an enterprise video portal, as well as how we enabled collaborations across a variety of different applications inside of Microsoft. So some of the challenges that we faced are people don't really hang out in video portals. We take a look at, you know, some of the data that was coming back to us. It was showing us that people don't come there every day. People don't stay there. People don't click refresh and say, oh, what's new happening in my organization? So we needed a way to bring Stream to the applications that people use every day on a daily basis. But we needed to make sure that this was done in a secure way, as well as using the existing resources that we had, given our timelines of what we were trying to achieve. And the other thing that we wanted to do was we wanted to make sure that this provided a good experience for our users. We didn't want to provide some sort of subpar experience that kind of left users feeling a little bit wanting and not really satisfied at the end of the day. So ensuring security across different applications. What we did was we created embedded playbacks, which was actually hosted inside of the video portal itself. What that allowed us to do was leverage everything that we had talked about in the previous login flow. So it still required you to have your AAD-based authentication, your similar login. However, we were able to actually allow you to embed these videos on multiple different applications, which I'll show you in a minute. So let me show you a little bit about how that sharing looks and how that permission modeling looks a little bit. So here, if I go to the video portal that's there inside of Stream, I can click Share. I can share via link, I can share via email, or I can share via embed here. There's a bunch of different categorizations I can make here and make it a little bit more customized to what I'm looking for. But in this case, let's just copy what's there. And if I go to JSFiddle, for example, JSFiddle is just my little quick way to show this in action. In this particular case, because I'm logged in to the same session with the same tabs, I'll actually automatically be logged into the video because it knows I am who I am. So I didn't actually have to log in explicitly. I could log in automatically using my credentials, and I can actually just play the video directly here, same video you guys saw. But let's say, for example, I go into Chrome and I'll go into in private viewing. So I don't have any credentials set. I am not a known user. So if I go here, paste that. It'll actually ask me for my credentials to say I am who I am. Furthermore, if I have credentials, but I don't actually have access to the video, we'll say this video is not available to you. So the whole idea is that we're maintaining that security across your applications. The next challenge that we faced is because we're a relatively new service and wanted to get something up and running, we didn't actually have any public access to APIs as it exists today. So although we're planning to do this eventually on our roadmap, we wanted to get something out there as soon as possible. So what we did is we looked at the OEmbed standard. And the way that we did this was we provided a non-authenticated OEmbed endpoint, which provided only generic information about the video itself. It didn't provide any sensitive information, so it didn't share anything that was cross-company or anything like that outside, but we're still able to get that dynamic rich embedding capability based on a video URL. And we were able to customize that with certain properties, like you could set your preload, your autoplay, and if you want to learn a little bit more about that, you can look at the OEmbed standard as well. So here's a typical OEmbed response that comes back. As you can see, there's no sensitive metadata that's returned. However, I'm able to dynamically grab the HTML code based on a video URL that I input in order to actually display that inline. And we'll show you how cool that capability allowed us to integrate with a bunch of different applications in a second as well. Next, we wanted to provide a good experience for our users. So that meant we didn't want them to sign in directly to stream every time you embedded a video there. That's subpar, and eventually it'll get annoying and painstaking for the user. So the way that we achieved this was we used single sign-on directly with Azure Active Directory, which meant that we were able to share credentials across a variety of different applications, including Office 365, SharePoint, Yammer, Teams, and a bunch more as well. There was a bigger challenge that we faced with on-premises Active Directory because your Active Directory credentials on-premises are actually different than your credentials for Azure Active Directory. We did find a way to achieve this. I won't get into too much detail here, but if anybody has any questions about that, they can ask in the question period or if they can come talk to me after the session as well. Lastly, we wanted to do some seamless integrations with products that people actually know, use, and love every day. So a couple of the integrations that I'm going to show you here today is Microsoft Teams as well as Yammer. So Microsoft Teams is a relatively new service that's out there, and they allow you to actually add a tab or pin a tab to a team channel. And so the integration that we provided with Microsoft Teams was you can pin an entire channel as a tab from Microsoft Stream or a video directly. Let's go in and take a look at what that looks like. So here is your generic Teams interface, and they actually allow you to pin, as I mentioned before, different resources from a variety of different applications. So in this case, you can click the plus icon and then go to the Microsoft Stream tab, And you can select in paste a video or channel URL. And we'll grab the same Satya channel that we had earlier. Paste that in. And what this does is it actually is dynamically now pulling that same content using that embedded service that we talked about earlier. But now you get the same great stream experience inside of Teams directly, because now it's pinned as a tab. And you can actually click and watch the video directly in line without ever having to leave Teams itself. You can also do this directly with a video if you wanted to actually pin a video, for example, and play that directly in line as well. And it allows you to have Teams conversations around those videos as well. So I can click here and type, hey, cool video. And I can talk and have a conversation about that as well. Next one I'm going to show you is Yammer. So this is something that we actually recently just enabled in Yammer, which is inline playback in Yammer. And so we do this in two different ways. One is you can share a video directly to Yammer inside of the stream experience, or you can copy and paste a URL directly into a thread inside of Yammer in order to get that inline playback experience. Let's take a look at that. And both the Teams and Yammer experience use the same stuff that I was talking about a little bit earlier. So that is utilizing the OEmbed endpoint as well as that secure login. However, because you are already logged into these credentials, you get that seamless SSO directly into the product. So if I look here, let's go take a look at our share dialog once again. I can actually click share and go directly into a sharing experience into Yammer. I can select a particular person or a channel. So in this case, I have a Microsoft Stream channel I might want to share this as. So I can go ahead and post that directly. And my message will get posted inside of that board. But I can also copy this link directly here and go inside of that. I actually just stream this was 20 seconds ago, so this was the one that got your inline playback. I'll just show you really quickly here. If I paste this directly into here, the link, post, cool video. And again, in the background, it's actually going through the OEmbed endpoint to grab that dynamic URL. For video playback inline, it allows us to show rich metadata to only those people who have access to the content. So I can actually play inside of Yammer without ever having to leave that experience. All right, now we're going to invite Vishal back up on the stage, and we'll open the floor to some Q&A. I think we got a couple mics on the floor so that it can pick it up. So we can start a queue if you guys have some questions. We got a taker.
Yeah, first of all, great job on that. It really looks really slick. When you had the architectural diagram up, the ADD piece, Active Directory piece, if that was to be, if we can plug in like a B2C there, that would expand it beyond your organization, right? And then you can have a portal for your customers. And I'm just curious, I mean, I would have to build something similar like this unless there's an easy way to plug that into your existing stream product. What are your thoughts or plans along those lines?
So the core of Stream is, as I said, collaboration and securely doing stuff. But we do understand that people don't really want two portals in their org, one for external content, one for internal content. So we are working on capabilities that will bring exactly what you said. So I can invite guest users from other organizations, or I can just make it public anonymous access.
Yeah.
And then I can just take the same embed code. I don't have to sign in anymore because it's open to the public. So we are working on those capabilities. they will be added, and we will be leveraging Azure Active Directory B2C for that.
Okay.
So that is coming. We just haven't gotten to that
okay.
point yet.
Okay. No, that's good to hear it's coming. That's good. And then you mentioned that some of the APIs were not public. I didn't quite get that.
What you see in that diagram there is we do have Azure, we have API Gateway. So our product is architected in a way where everything is driven off the APIs. So anything you see in the UI has an API backing it. So it's built from the grounds up on top of API. So there's nothing private or no private interaction between the portal and the backend. But we haven't opened that API up to developers yet. And the simple reason for that is we wanted to get this to GA, get some feedback, and then open that API up.
Okay, so again, that's coming.
That is coming. But we did not want to stop people from being able to embed and leverage integrations. And sometimes, like I'll tell you what, for example, OneNote, we didn't demo it here, but what happens in OneNote is if you paste a stream link into a OneNote page, OneNote basically knows it's a stream link. They build some little bit of code in OneNote. Then they call out to our OEmbed endpoint, which gives them the iframe, and they just render that iframe within OneNote app now. And now, if you were using consumer version of OneNote, it'll see that you don't have a valid Active Directory account, and it'll say login button there, just like Amit showed earlier. And if you had something, it'll single sign you in, and you can actually watch the video assuming you have access to it. So what this does is, even without APIs, we are able to kind of let you embed videos and channels across a plethora of products. So that's just super powerful. Now, of course, when you want to build custom UIs and all that kind of stuff, you will need APIs, and we will be giving you that, but we just don't have it right now.
Right. And just one more point to that. That's something that we're working on in development for the OneNote access, so you may not see it right away, but it is something that will be enabled.
Cool. Offline access, that's my last question. So, I think we chatted about this at the booth, but to me, that would be a very, Azure can handle offline, synchronization and all that stuff, so it seems like that would be a nice enhancement as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of challenges that we face with offline video. Mainly, it's all about that security underneath. You need a proper way in order to do offline videos, but you need a way so that it's secure underneath, keep that encryption in order for that to work. So there's a couple of different ways we could potentially achieve this. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're still kind of working around what's the best way to do this. What we're able to do today is in the video portal, as an owner, if you uploaded a video, you can actually download it for offline video and sharing as that goes. Eventually, we'll have to look into different ways of achieving this. There's a couple of different ways. This is just kind of out there. But it's all about that security and maintenance piece that we have to keep in that aspect.
And just to get a little geeky here, right? So when you download a video, you typically download, let's say, in a format like MP4.
Yeah.
MP4 doesn't really have a standard to encrypt it. So it's not like if I download an encrypted MP4 file, a browser will be able to do the auth and play it. So there's nothing that exists. So we will have to build that capability into some kind of an offline app or something like that you download with the video if you want to keep our security promise.
Yeah, so I'm thinking be an app like
something
where it
like
stores
that.
It in the sandbox and that's a little bit more protected area.
Right.
So it may cache your Active Directory token or it may have to reach out to get the token, but that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a more complex problem. So we'll once again, one of the things on our roadmap, it's one of the top 10 asks on us right now, actually.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any considerations for on-premise storage or any on-premise solutions, some of our data being more secure, being that it's government-related and things like that? So is there any potential for some of these services to be offered on-premise?
So the service itself is all a cloud-based service, including the storage is actually served up into one of our data centers. And we have, you were talking about government in the end of the day, we will have government cloud eventually available as well. So that security aspect will, from a compliance point of view, will be there. In terms of serving up content directly from your on-premises, I don't think we have any plans to do that for now. But one of the cool things that I mentioned before was, say, for example, you have on-premise AD, if that's what you're connected with. Say, for example, using on-premise SharePoint. We have a way now in order for you to get that single sign-on capability, even though part of your resources are coming from the cloud, part of it can also stay on-prem as well.
And I think I'll just add a little bit to that. So Microsoft internally, Microsoft IT, so we classify content into three different categories, LBI, which is low business impact, medium business impact, MBI, and HBI. So Microsoft has actually approved Stream for HBI content, so which is the highest level of security internally. And we went through a very rigorous security audit even internally for that. And as a result of that, we also are going to be very soon announcing that we are ISO, SOC, HIPAA, EUMC compliant. So it's going to be a completely compliant service, but we don't have any plans to build a pure on-premises service.
So then the other question kind of built off of that would be, what's the overall cost associated with some of these pieces? Like, is it just storage and the transcoding, or is there cost for streaming, or what all pieces of that puzzle up there we build for?
Yep. So when I said initially upfront that our goal is to democratize video creation and consumption in the organization, we really meant it. So this solution is actually available to you for no additional cost as a part of Office 365. If you do not have Office 365, you can buy it on a per seat basis, but we don't charge you for transcoding, streaming, nothing like that. So only thing we do have is you get a quota of storage, which is fairly generous, and it, as you buy more licenses, your quota increases, pretty similar to how SharePoint works. So you get a pool storage of quota, and if you exceed that, you just buy more storage. We only charge you, or we only count the videos you uploaded as a part of the storage, not the videos we transcoded. So that's the only thing you need to worry about. Now, when we start doing external videos, the other gentleman was asking, so at that point of time, we might have some streaming quotas, because you could build a YouTube at that point of time, and we really don't, we can't afford that, right? So, but right now, that's the only thing you'll have to worry about, and we are getting close to our GA, and at that point of time, we'll be announcing the standalone pricing and the quotas and all that kind of stuff. Any other questions? There you go.
I have a naive question, just because we're fairly new to Office 365. We've just gotten Office 365. Video is one of the things. What's the relationship between this and
thank you for asking that. I was wondering when somebody asked that question. So Office 365 video, and as I said earlier, our team and my team owns both of those products. So we are, and we have publicly said this on our blog post as well, think of Stream as a successor to Office 365 video. And we learned an incredible amount of stuff from shipping Office 365 video, and it's a very popular service. And we did publish numbers at Ignite. There are millions of people using that product already. So one of the things we wanted is, like, our customers came up and told us that, I want this solution outside of Office also, and we just couldn't do that with Office Video, so we had to build Stream. So Stream is our go-forward solution. However, all our existing customers who are using Office 365 Video, we're going to take care of all of you. So what we are doing is, and as a part of our GA release, we'll be announcing more details around this plan. So we will be transitioning all your content, all your permissions, all your channel and metadata construct over to Stream seamlessly by just clicking a button. You just tell me that I want to be migrated, and we'll move your content over. And your existing embed codes, any apps you had built on our APIs, any links you had shared anywhere would continue to work. So we will redirect those links to the new Stream links when that happens. And we will do it in phases, and you will get a chance to sign off and approve that everything worked well for you before we go live with Stream in your setup. And so and more details are coming soon, and actually very, very soon you'll get an admin center post via the message center, talking about the early details of this, and then more details will come as we GA.
Can you put up that architecture
slide? Cool. No more questions? Cool, and we are here. We are going to be at our booth as well. We have a booth here, so feel free to have, if you have any questions, I want to discuss any topics. Otherwise, I guess we'll let you get to beers or the fun part. There's a party apparently today, so have fun.
Yeah, so you can try out Microsoft Stream, as I mentioned before. It's free to try right now. You can also try out Azure Resources, join our community, add some ideas, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like. And don't forget, all of these sessions that you are attending at Build are going to be available at Channel 9. And if you missed it yesterday, we had a great talk about another service that we announced, which is Video Indexer, which uses some of the awesome media intelligence capabilities that I showed off here. But unlike Stream, that is relatively geared towards the enterprise as well as secure video, this is more of a consumer-based scenario. So you can actually check that out on Channel 9 if you didn't get a chance to check that out. I know the talk is readily available there. Check us out at the Microsoft Stream booth. We have some swag to give away, so you can come get some swanky swag if you'd like. And as always, make sure to fill out the evaluation. It really helps us as speakers, and I hope it provides a little bit more in-depth talks for you guys as well. So thanks very much, everyone, and have a great rest of Build.
Thank you.